listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I imagine if you're like me, it's your least favorite time of the year, even though the holidays are coming. For me, it's a matter of going home in the dark. Every night, the days grow shorter. Now, the good news is, once we get to that nadir of darkness, then those days start to get longer. Maybe this is why the earliest Christians, when thinking about these martyrs, those many martyrs that suffered in the early part of the 4th century during the great Diocletian persecution, they thought about a time of darkness and how the lives and the witness of these martyrs were a light shining in that darkness. One of them is Lucia, 4th century martyr, remembered on the 13th of December. Joining us to remember her on this 12th of December, Dr. Joel Olowski. He's Associate Professor of Historical Theology and Director of the Center for the Study of Early Christian Texts at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and formerly served as Operations Manager for the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. Dr. Olowski, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
We're going to be talking about Lucia not only as a martyr, but also as someone who chose celibacy and virginity over the prospect of marriage. Why did the early Christians so value virginity and celibacy?
Well, they looked at Christ's life himself and how he was a virgin, and they wanted to imitate his life. You also hear from St. Paul that he felt that it would be better to not be married so you could devote your whole life to Christ. And so they looked at, it isn't that they devalued marriage, it's simply that they saw this being single was a way to pretty much dedicate your life to Christ in all of its aspects.
What do we know about Lucia?
Well, interesting. In one sense, we could say we know nothing because of the a lot of the traditions. It's hard to kind of tell what's true and what's not. But at least what we can say from the tradition is that she probably was born in the latter part of the 3rd century, somewhere in the 280s, I suppose, 283. But that as she grew up, she was supposed to get married to this suitor that she had. But as she was visiting with her mother, I think it was the tomb of St. Agnes, she decided that she wanted to give all of her dowry away to the poor and devote her life to virginity. And so her suitor, the guy who wanted to marry her, kind of, at least according to one tradition, got rather ticked off about this and decided that he would report her to the authorities at the time as a Christian. And of course, this would be right around the time of the Diocletian persecutions, which would have begun around 304 or so. So she's actually denounced as a Christian, and the governor then, at least according to one tradition, wanted to sentence her to have to live in a brothel, you know, work as a prostitute as a way to kind of punish her. But they were supposed to move her, and there's all kinds of stories that say it had hundreds of men trying to do this, and none of them could move her, and so they were going to set her on fire and then finally, I guess she's proclaiming the faith, one of the soldiers, according to the tradition, stabs her in the throat, and even that can't stop her, but she only finally dies after she's had the sacrament, you know. But she's looked at as one of these people who really held up virginity and the Christian ideal very highly, and so, she was considered a martyr in the church, and people looked up to her for that reason.
This legacy is greatly valued in Scandinavian countries, where she kind of works into their, we could say, Christmas time celebrations or pre-Christmas Advent celebrations. Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because even her name, Lucy or Lucia, would have from the Latin lux, having light. And one of the traditions was that she would go out to the catacombs to provide for the people there, provide for the poor, and so that she could carry enough to bring to them, she would actually wear a wreath on her head with candles on it. And so the idea then kind of took on a life of its own, so that in countries like Scandinavia, where it gets dark pretty early, and especially around this time of year, they would look at her as kind of their patron saint, if you will, as the one who brings light. So that's why she kind of grew popular in that culture.
Let's talk a little bit about this all-too-common martyrdom. You would describe there kind of the hostility, that even toward women, even toward virginal celibate women, that Christians found there. What was the source of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, in this particular case, I think it was a jilted lover part of it too, but it was just this idea that the Christians weren't conforming to the pagan ideas about how one should live their lives. And even the visits to the temple prostitutes and things like this, the Christians had a very, their lifestyle just kind of stood in stark contrast to this, and almost, kind of a testimony of condemnation, you might say, against the culture. And I think you see that even today to a certain degree as people look at kind of the prudishness of Christianity. And yet we see where that's led our culture and society today, too, to see they've got a lot of problems with sexual harassment, things like that, that I wonder, if we couldn't learn something from these ancient martyrs and their views on continence and celibacy and these things, to look at, a life that's more directed towards, restraint, shall we say. So I think, back at that time, the persecutions would have arisen because they just didn't fit in, but it also was also seen probably in some ways as a condemnation on the lifestyle that was going on.
Then I guess that kind of really puts to shame our sensibilities today, especially in Western Christianity, where fitting in is really kind of, all of us have an impulse to do that, especially Christians.
I think that's right. And also just on understanding just the role of virtue, in one's life, and how highly that was prized among the early Christians, and how much that's under attack today. But it was under attack then, too. And maybe looking to some of these saints even as examples of courage, to live the virtuous life, even in the face of all these kinds of challenges.
Dr. Joel Olowski is our guest. We're talking about early 4th century martyr Lucia, remembered by the Church on the 13th of December. He's director of the Center for Study of Early Christian Texts at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll be right back.
The principal concern of bad revisionist history, however, is not the past, but the present. By reading present concerns into the past, bad revisionism shirks the responsibility imposed by the six C's of historical thinking.
Dr. Mark Kaltoff, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whenever one encounters what may seem a compelling historical narrative, he or she must ask, is the narrator sensitive to the realities of change over time, of continuity, of context, of causality, of the contingency of human events, and finally of the staggering complexity of the past? If so, then the historical narrative is likely reliable.
You can listen to Dr. Kaltoff's presentation, Making the Case Against Revisionist History, on a recording of this year's Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Place your order at issuesetc.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During December, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Ministry Focus. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces.
We're remembering 4th century martyr Lucia. Dr. Joel Olowski is our guest at Concordia Seminary. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Folks, you have 20 days left to order a recording of our spring and fall Making the Case conferences. We'll send you an audio DVD or a thumb drive for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300 to Issues Etc. This recording contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching never heard before on Issues Etc., featuring Hank Hanegraaff, Scott Klusendorf, Hans Feeney, Will Wheaton, Angus Manouge, Chris Roseborough, Ryan Anderson, Beverly Yonke, Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Mark Kaltoff, and me. You can order online at issuesetc.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Dr. Olowski, we were talking before the break about how in Lucia's time, the celibacy was not just countercultural, but it was an affront to the culture, maybe even a rebuke to the culture. So does that apply both in the 4th century and today?
Well, it could be possible. I mean, unfortunately, one of the things we see kind of today is people don't really even seem to consider the sexual ethics, you know, whether it's celibacy or, but if they look at somebody, I guess I see what you're saying in the sense that they're not willing to join in kind of in what's going on. But I do see also an interesting backlash against some of this now, you know, and you see all these Hollywood stars and all these government officials now where this kind of culture, they see what it's reaped. So I think they reap what they sow. And I wonder if maybe there's going to be maybe even a little switch. I'd like to kind of have my own hope out for that, that perhaps people are going to see that the sexual revolution really has not delivered. And in fact, if anything, it's made our lives a lot worse, and especially for women, frankly.
Another aspect of what is remembered about Lucia is charity. And that was also a major feature in the life of the early church, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's very true. In fact, you'd hear in traditions about John, as well as some of the early church fathers, that the pagans would say, see how they love one another. And sometimes they said that in a positive way, sometimes in a kind of derisive way, believe it or not. But that aspect of charity, of caring for one another, of not letting leaving the babies out to die like some of the Romans would do if they didn't want them. I mean, these were kinds of things that were really attractive to the people. And I think that's one of those things that Alan Kreider calls the patient ferment of the early church, you know, that you could see this this lifestyle kind of permeate the culture slowly, but it was penetrated deeply as well.
Talk about her remembrance by happenstance, fitting beautifully within the Advent and pre-Christmas season.
Well, especially because of this tradition about her being a bearer of light, you know, and it's kind of right around the time of Christmas when it's getting about the darkest, you know, and I think even in people's lives, it's getting dark sometimes as they think about people they've lost at this time. It's a really difficult time for many people in the church as well as outside of the church. And to look to somebody like, St. Lucy or Santa Lucia, as we say in Italy, someone who's a bearer of light, a bringer of light into this dark world, just as Jesus Christ, you know, is the light of the world who brought his light into this dark world. I think it's a wonderful parallel that way to look at how Christianity has such a beautiful light to bring to this dark world of ours.
If you would, often when we have conversations with you, Dr. Olowski, we're talking about kind of the giants, men who made a huge mark in terms of their work or their contention against heresy or their writings that we give them the honorific saints. In the case of Saint Lucia, it's much simpler than that. Why is she as worthy of remembrance by the church as the other maybe more well-known names in the church's catalog?
Well, I think it has to do with her whole life of sacrifice, that she was really willing to give up the most important thing she had, her life itself, to do honor to her Lord, and doing that by remaining a virgin. And so the fact that she received this persecution and ultimately martyrdom says to us that here's somebody who was just as committed as the men at her time to her Lord. And I think often women are held up in this regard because of the, especially for the virtue that they held out as a beacon kind of for the world. And so I would say in that case, she is somebody worthy to be honored just as much as the men that way.
In a social media age, what people are seeing today on December 13th are sometimes iconic images. I mean, Christian icons of Saint Lucia. How would you explain what you're seeing there when we see these in social media?
Well, let's see. I think usually she's kind of depicted with a white gown and a red sash. Is that right? And I think maybe even the wreath, the candle wreath on her head. And as I said before, I think the candle wreath idea has to do with the fact of her bearing that light while she was helping others, bringing them gifts and things like that. And the white, of course, also is a symbol of purity. But the red sash, then, is the symbol of the martyrdom, as, of course, her blood was shed because of her service to our Lord. So when you see those kinds of images, it can bring in all those different aspects, I think. The light, the purity, the willingness to sacrifice all for your Lord. I think all those things are present.
I guess one of the more basic things about her is that we're talking here about a woman and not a man. What would you tell us about the early Christians and, in some cases, their revolutionary views toward women?
Yeah, I mean, Christianity, of course, arose in a very what's considered a patriarchal culture, I think, is the term that's used. And in one sense, you could call the early church patriarchal, but that wouldn't do justice to how they treated women. In fact, it was one of the most attractive religions for women because women were frankly treated in a much better way than they were in the rest of society. They would be able. They would not serve as clergy, but they definitely served in a number of different roles. As far as even in the households, in fact, when you look at where our Lord celebrated His Last Supper, it was in the house of John Mark's mother. You know, so women were very much in the early church, also patrons of the church, and they would often provide for financial support of the church. So, you know, it's often painted as if the church discriminated against women. But if you were a woman in those early centuries, you would have actually seen it as an opportunity to belong to a society, a culture that really valued what you had to bring, you know, to the community. So that's how I see it, at least.
On this St. Lucia Day, how would you explain in a simple way to someone who asks, what are we remembering?
I would say we're remembering sacrifice. We're remembering the prize of virtue and all that can mean, especially in our society today. And most of all, probably we're celebrating the gift of light, and that Saint Lucia herself would point towards Christ, you know, who is the light of the world, and He is the one who is the reason for this season. And so we rejoice in that knowledge and that light that He brings today.
Dr. Joel Olowski is Professor of Historical Theology and Director of the Center for the Study of Early Christian Texts at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He formerly served as Operations Manager for the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. Dr. Olowski, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about a terrorist attack at a Christmas market in Strasbourg, France, and we'll get a review of the movie Creed II with Pastor Ted Geese. It is reflected light. That's what remembering the saints of old and the saints more recent really is. To remember them is to remember the light of Christ that has shone upon them in His mercy and His grace, sinners though they were, and reflected by them in their bold confession of faith, for some even to death like Christ Himself. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.